Football 52, episode number 6. Still able to keep track of that for now. Once we get to double digits, that's where I'm going to have to start writing stuff down. Yeah. Joining me in studio, Coach Lamb is out this week. It is spring break, so you know who knows what Coach Lamb's doing at this point. But joining me now, Aaron Fernandez, assistant head coach over at UNC. And NFL liaison, too. And I want to get into all of that, what that looks like. Defensive line coach. He was an offensive line coach for quite some time, too. So we're going to talk about the transitions there and everything. But Coach Fernandez, man, thank you so much for joining me in the podcast studio today.
Yeah, Brady, this is awesome. Thanks for having me. Good morning. It's a great morning here in Greeley. Really excited to get the opportunity to do this. Thank you.
Well, I know you've been prepping for this. You sent me some notes last night. So are you gunning for Coach's spot here on the podcast portion? I mean, this could be great.
You know, I won't not gunning for Coach's spot, but maybe it leads to me wanting to do, yeah, everyone's doing a podcast these days. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, and I always joke about that on my show because I do 11 to 2, do the whole show. And I always joke. It's like everybody's got a podcast. But what I like about this is we're getting – it's not just me going, hey, I think coaches are thinking this. And I do plenty of that on a daily basis. But getting an opportunity to sit down with Coach Lamb on a regular basis, and hopefully this will be one of many with you in here, is I get the full story. If I have a question, I can flat out ask, and you can let me know. You can shoot me straight.
Yeah, you guys got a really cool platform, and this is really good content, and I think gives an insight and just a little bit more of a personal look into, you know, coaches' lives and, you know, how they kind of, the different dots that it connects to, you know, getting to the field. You know, I think a lot of the misconception is that it's just football, you know, so this is really cool stuff you guys got, and I know it's catching a lot of traction.
Well, we know, and I love that you said that too, it's a lot more than just football. Getting the chance to learn a little bit more. You know, the past 5 episodes from Coach Lamb, there's just so many different things that go into what you guys do. Yeah, the X's and O's and film study and training and practice, all of that stuff. But there's so many. I mean, we talk about relationships, you know, building relationships with your players and things like that. But I mean, it's a difficult task, especially this day and age with the way college sports is going. Just the fact that it's 2024. There are just so many moving parts when it comes to a Division I football team.
Yep, there is. And that, I think that's part of, you know, something that I really relate to a lot is just, you know, I think just the teacher aspect to this whole thing and being able to, you know, touch young men's lives a little bit differently and personal. And when you can relate to certain things that they've been going through, maybe because you've been through it, you know, helps you kind of bridge some gaps, and I think that's the ultimate goal with player-to-coach relationship.
Well, let's talk to the audience a little bit about your background. Obviously, you and Coach Lamb have a pretty solid foundation. You've known each other for a while, but you were at Southern Utah for quite some time.
Yeah,
you were there from when to.
I mean, in total, I played my football out there as well. That's kind of how I got to know Coach Lamb. And 2008 was my senior year.
Okay,
and then. I explored trying to play professional football a little bit and got a call from Coach Lamb about a graduate assistant. I was going to be a coach. I was going to go back home. My home's Arizona. I was going to go back home and coach high school and teach, but this kind of path opened up and I ran with it. So that was in 2008 and began the journey coaching in 2009. That was my first opportunity under Coach Lamb and then kind of just really built our relationship from there, yeah.
Well, Coach Lamb talks about that all the time, too, those relationships from years ago. And, you know, we joked last week, we talked about some of the things that he might say to his players. Can you see if that resonates? And he's like, well, you know, typically you don't know that day.
Right.
you know years down the road, but clearly something resonated with you about Coach Lamb.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, I think it was the first chance. I did grow up around coaching, and I had a lot of experience with coaches that impacted my life, but Coach Lamb on a whole new level, just the way to work, the mindset and the work, what consistency really means, an approach, you know, to take in a sense of maybe even an approach that not everyone else is doing, even in just the way he was developing guys and developing our team. And I really drew to that. You know, everyday aspect that he brings to the program, and It was just something that I could kind of see myself in those shoes, and something I really wanted to, you know, almost emulate at times. And so that's kind of how it began. Yeah, it was you know, those relationships. We have a lot of them that begin there. They just continue to grow, and yeah, here we are.
What are some of the differences that we can talk about between Southern Utah and UNC? Obviously, Coach Lamb, one of the reasons we really want to do this podcast was we wanted to give people an inside look of, okay, it's not just football. There are a lot of challenges that you guys are working through on, you know, on a yearly basis. And you look at the Big Sky Conference as a whole, there's a lot of big time facilities throughout this conference. It's a very competitive conference. Talk about some of those differences that you see.
I think I see a lot of similarities, just in a sense of, we're in a great town. That's where it kind of starts. I think it's a college town. I think the people are great here. I think they want to, you know, back and support their college teams and their athletics. I think that was something too that was kind of similar in Cedar City. Hardworking towns. I've seen a lot of similarity there, and the people that come from those type of towns. And then, just in general, I think there was a lot of great bones in place and support in place for us to win and get going and chase championships. And then I think in general there was a little bit of a, you know, just certain niches in recruiting that you can get to places like this and truly develop a player over a career, you know, 4 or 5 years. So I think those similarities are very strong, you know.
Yeah, and I think a lot of Bears fans will be happy to hear that too, because you guys found a lot of success with Southern Utah. So when you say those things and Coach Lamb says those things, then you go, well, then why not Greeley, Colorado? Why not the University of Northern Colorado? I went to UNC. I came up here. I graduated high school in 2005. Oh. And I was writing for the
2004.
So, okay. Yep. So we're right around that same age. I was writing for the UNC Mirror, the college paper there. And I was coming to school right around the time UNC was making that change. And obviously from that point, there's been a lot of struggles.
Right.
I think they had maybe one or two seasons where they won 6 games. You kind of felt like maybe something was starting to click, and then obviously the bottom fell out. And then the last 5, 6, 7 years have been difficult. So knowing when you make a change like this, you really got to believe the people that you're going to be putting yourself around, you know, because you're going to bring your family here. And you really got to look at that and say, okay, how can we make this thing, you know, can we grow this thing and get it on the right track, really, for the first time since you joined D1 football?
All right. Yeah. I mean, it does take belief, like you said, and then it takes action. You know, I think that's sometimes maybe the part that's missing. But to me, it's like an equation. It's belief plus action equals success. And I think as long as we continue to drive the belief and continue to make our actions behind that consistent, then that's when you find sustainable success. And that's when we can, be what everyone says is a winner and the outcomes of winning games. But I just think it takes consistent belief and actions, you know.
When you talk about, you know, we always say like building the culture, and Coach Lamb and I have spent some time on that. But really, and you noted this in your text to me when we were going back and forth, and you said something about, hey, I want to talk about the blueprint for relationships, the development side. If you could sum that up for listeners, whether they're diehard football fans or they're just tuning in to this for the first time, wanting to learn more about it, how could you do that? Because I always wonder, like, what separates coaching? Because you guys are all busting your tail. You all know football. Yep. You're all good at football. This is why you're at this level. But what separates what this plan is of Coach Lamb and this coaching staff?
Yeah, I mean, it starts with relationships. I think you have to really pour into those. You have to really take a selfless approach and treat people, you know, in a high-class manner. You got to always want to put that at the forefront. Then that follows up with development, and I think that's where the true difference is. We make our mark, and we truly – when we say we're going to develop a young man to, parents, that's where it really, you know, I think the real, proof in the pudding lies, is a sense of like, That's where we really hang our hat, is we do not give up on that. And that's, I think, when we kind of talk about, you know, the blueprint in our recruiting and where that niche is a little bit different. We're going and recruiting kids with the vision. And I think also in that blueprint, is we want to be very local in our approach.
Yeah.
And we don't kind of just say that. So that's our belief. And then we show a lot of actions by the numbers of guys we recruit. And so I think numbers of guys we recruited, you know, I think in the early signing period, we had like 13 out of 15. And I think there was only one or two in the second signing period. Our class is majority Colorado, and that, you know, therein lies with the blueprint and the development approach. And I think that's just like where it truly, we're going to do some similarities, and I'm sure a lot of coaches have some similarities in their approach, but that's where our differences are, and that's where we really, I think, hang our hat.
I've always said this, too, on my regular show. I mean, if you're UNC and you're trying to build this thing, the old things maybe weren't working, you know, trying to go find those guys. Not to say you're not looking, not to say you're not, hey, if you get some of these big time players from outside of Colorado, great, all the power to you guys. But especially while you're trying to build this thing up, you get, I mean, Colorado's a great state. And as you're experiencing, Northern Colorado's kind of its own area too. And I know some great players coming from there. Denver's obviously got a lot of stud football players. But you're also building in an audience too. There's a fan base that's going to support these guys. And I bring this up to Coach Lamb all the time, but Austin Eckler, who just signed with Washington yesterday, lived right up the road and didn't play for the University of Northern Colorado. So, and I'm not here to like put any scouts back then on, you know, to task or anything, but I know there were scouts out there, and I was broadcasting games at that point. I was doing color commentary. And I'm a radio guy. I can't evaluate talent, but I'm watching a guy return punts, punt it, receive it, run it, throw it, play defense. He was doing everything. So I thought, that guy's going to be a Bear sometime. So this is what I love about what your staff is doing, because that guy should have been, that guy should have been a UNC football player.
Yep.
So I love this, because there is a lot of talent.
Yeah.
And you guys are finding those guys.
Yeah. And you said the word support. I mean, that, I think, you know, none of us get here without support. I have one of the best support systems, and that's given me just any chance in the career I wanted to take, and being able to have any success in coaching. Same with players, and that's what we want to build on Saturdays is support. We want to be able to have different families see each other every Saturday, travel to some away games together, and then all of a sudden, you know, the stadium's filled with all kinds of connection to people that they've watched for a long time, and I think that's a cool thing.
That's where you start it, right? Yep. And you get going with this family connection, and then it grows, and then you have this group of guys that, hey, you know, those guys in Boulder didn't look at us. Those guys even further north didn't look at us, or even outside of the state, you know, just a couple of lines over didn't look at us. There's certainly a lot of guys that are getting those looks, but now they start getting to the point where we like that feel, you know, we want to go there and see what we can do. Maybe we stay there. Ideally, we stay there our entire career, but there's also other opportunities. We go to UNC where there is this great coaching staff and this great environment that could really start to kind of foster that football ability, but also growing up, you know, in the college world as a man.
Yep, that's cool. And then it just kind of, you know, I think it ties back to then and shows when we have those stories, you know, it goes back to the development thing.
Yeah.
And now we can kind of look back and say, you know, remember when we talked about this vision or that vision, and we talked about the amount of body weight you were going to gain, and kind of looked at us a little crazy, and then all of a sudden, you know, they spark and have these careers take off, and it's pretty special to see.
Well, you've had a lot of guys under your tutelage that have gone on to the next level. What I think is fascinating about your story, and again, Aaron Fernandez is sitting in the podcast studio here for Football 52, Episode 6, assistant head coach, defensive line coach, but you, I mean, your offensive line coaching ability is I mean, second to none, man. I mean, you had some amazing linemen over the years. Talk to us about that transition, because in my brain, I'm always like, offense, defense, maybe you're going to tool around with different positions and stuff, but you don't cross that line. Some do. You're one of those guys.
Yeah, and I feel fortunate to be able to cross that line. My journey. I coached offensive line the last 8 years. I was lucky enough to be around a ton of really good young men that, again, we were able to have a true span of time with them, 4-5 years, and was able to really, help develop them in their craft. And that's really what offensive line is. It's a craft. It's its own world. And I loved being a part of it. I had to learn it. I got thrust into it a little bit, and I was so excited to get the opportunity to do so. And and then I played D-line for Coach Lamb. And so, and then also he gave me my first job in coaching defensive line. I was, again, credit to him, early on in my coaching career, he gave me responsibility, to be accountable for some positions. I got to be a D-tackles coach. I got to experience being around a really good defensive line coach, a couple of them, and so got to learn, and got to learn kind of the ropes a little bit. Then was able to coach a little bit of linebacker. So in that, I had a lot of defensive background under Coach Lamb, and really I didn't really care. When I had talked to Coach always, he's my biggest mentor, obviously, so stay in touch with them and let him know when I had the chance to work for him again that I'd be there. And so timing, and that's really what this, I think this all comes down to, but just great timing, happened to be, got a call, and said, I want you to coach the defensive line. I said, all right, let's do it, and so kind of had to reinvent myself a little bit. At the end of the day, O-line, D-line, you're coaching leverage. So I wasn't, in a sense, too intimidated, but I knew I'd have to reinvent myself. D-line is different. It's a little bit of a different animal, but it has some similarities as well. And so as long as I could coach leverage well and, again, continue to touch young men and in a sense of hopefully just give them a little bit of something to add to their toolbox so they can continue to grow and develop, then I knew I could continue to excel, as a coach. And so, I've had the lucky experience to be able to do both, and had some really, really good young men along the way that helped me out too a lot.
I think we're just going to start calling you Master of the Line because you played D line, then you get in and you coach an offensive line. The list goes on and on about the awards and the achievements that your offensive linemen accomplished throughout your time at Southern Utah, and then you make the transition back to defensive line. I mean, so you've been back and forth. You said reinvent yourself, but you've reinvented yourself a couple of times. Yeah. But I mean, how much we look at like NFL coaches and even college guys, you'll say, okay, he's an offensive minded guy. But maybe, I think of John Elway when he started with the Broncos as a VP. He was really good at drafting defensive talent for a while, not the last 4 years. Let's not even talk about that. But he was really good at finding defensive guys. And you thought, well, here's a quarterback who was one of the greatest of all time, continues to build up a defense. Couldn't really find that quarterback, save for Peyton Manning. But how much does that kind of correlate with you, where you look at it and go, man, I played on the defensive line, so I'm going up against offensive linemen at the college ranks for a long time. And then when I'm coaching it, I'm back to the offensive line. Now I'm learning about the opposition more. I mean, how much does that help you in those re-transitions?
Yeah, and that's what I said. I feel fortunate. I think it just, no matter what your background is or what maybe your niche is, I think if you can coach on both sides of the football, it just makes you that much better in that area. I just feel like me being able to have the experience in both, no matter what, I may be settling, I'm a ball coach, and I feel like those experiences just being on both sides of the ball help you really round out what you really are focusing on. And so it allows me to, just from maybe my player's perspective, it allows me to teach them what the offensive line's trying to do, the objective they're trying to do on this play. It's not just a running play. Maybe this is what gap scheme means, or this is what zone scheme means. And now you can understand why they're double teaming you this way, or why they're putting their hands on you this way. And we all have tools. It goes back to the leverage thing on how to defeat that. And so, it gives me a chance for me to give my players a little bit of insight on what they're trying to do on the other side, So hopefully that improves their game.
Yeah, and I think the offensive line, defensive line, those positions they're very foreign to me. I mean, I play small-time high school football. And as you can see, I'm not much bigger than I was when I was in high school. So I was like a, you know, corner safety, maybe a slot receiver kind of guy, and never really understood all the nuances of what goes into being an offensive or a defensive lineman. And you playing D tackle there, or when you played that, there's an art to that position. I just saw a D tackle yesterday sign a 3-year, $23 million a year deal. I mean, D tackles are starting to get paid like quarterbacks 10 years ago. Yeah. That is a trend I'm seeing in the NFL. As you just started, I mean, really yesterday with the free agency signings, D tackles are highly sought after. So that position, I'm curious to see, like, your philosophy on a D tackle.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it is position before submission. There's a lot of dirty work in there, right? Double teams, holding the points of attack. Any downhill running scheme usually starts at you. So you're usually talking about, you know, 600 pounds versus your 300 pounds, you know? So just a lot of, you know, I think you really got to, again, kind of be real technical in that position. But, man, they just do a lot of dirty work. And then so once you get done defeating 600 pounds, you still got to run to the ball and make plays. And so, yeah, they're highly coveted. And I don't think people, you know, I think they're not going to have a good run defense without great defensive tackles. You know, it starts there. So, you know, same with when you see these linebackers making a lot of plays. It's because there's dudes in front of them that are eating up blocks and keeping them free to look pretty and make plays. You
well,
know?
And I think with the emergence, you know, over the last 20 years with, you know, social media and our video content has never been better. I do think people have a real appreciation for what goes on in the trenches. I mean, we always used to talk about it. Like, there are O-line, interior D-linemen, maybe the least respect, not respected, but talked about guys. But I do think in the last 20 years or so, that has changed. That all being said, you think of a defensive tackle, random people that are kind of football fans, they think of a D tackle and they think, absorb those blocks, do the dirty work. I mean, it's not the glorious position, but it's the vital position. It's the heartbeat of you say middle linebacker is the captain. I look at a D tackle and go, that's like the heartbeat of the defense. That's where this thing starts.
Yep. I mean, yeah, I think middle linebacker would be like, you know, he's got to make the call. So he's like the quarterback.
Yeah.
Right. And just from the other perspective, you got to keep your quarterback clean. And so that's what the D tackles do to, like I said, the middle linebacker. And so, no, it's those are usually, whether you're talking about offensive linemen or especially those defensive tackles that don't usually get to necessarily rush the passer all the time, those are usually the most selfless guys, best guys to be around. So it's cool to see them get paid.
Well, you're pretty fun to be around. I can already tell, man. I can already tell you're a selfless guy. But that is a position that you have to tell yourself. You know, when you start working out to build up to be that guy, because we all know different positions, you're working out in different ways, you're building up your body in a different way. At some point, you know, you looked at it and said, okay, I'm going to go be a D tackle. Your coach has probably told you whatever. And then that mindset changes. I mean, where were you? Were you always on the D line at a very, I mean, when you obviously played football pretty much your whole life?
Yeah, for the most part. I was a little later to football. I played, started my freshman year.
Freshman year, okay.
I was a little more into, we were wrestling, playing baseball.
Wrestling, which also probably helps you play D-tackle.
Yeah, it does. And big baseball family. And so, but yeah, once I found football, that was kind of it for me, you know, and I was hooked. And so, yeah, I was usually D-line, O-line. That's kind of what my body type was, and that was what I played for the most part. I sometimes say I play tight end because I touched the ball once in my life in a game. But
hey, that counts.
No,
man.
I was a wing T tackle, and so I did both, and that's what I. And then, you know, as you start to get into college, junior college, you just obviously start playing more of one side of the ball, and kind of viewed myself. I love the things that defensive linemen did, and you know, just in a sense the defensive mindset and the pursuit and the violence you get to play with. And so, I was naturally just drawn to that. And then in college, I played interior. I was a three technique.
Okay. How about this one? You know, we're talking a lot about concussions these days. We always talk about quarterbacks getting concussions and the guys that are flying down the field. But I always, when I'm watching football, I'm thinking, how many concussions are going on between an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman, especially at the NFL level? We just don't talk about it much because these are the toughest people you're ever going to meet. I'm telling you, man, just from my view and just you can tell me better than you know what I'm thinking, but it just seems like these are the toughest SOBs you're ever going to find.
Yeah, I agree too. That's usually where your toughness starts. And yeah, I just don't think, you know, I don't know how many, I don't know how many head
there,
hits.
I mean,
you know,
just every time, bam, nope. Bam.
I think part of it is the way football is filmed, you necessarily don't get to see those.
Sure, and probably seeing the ball.
It's just maybe quicker high impacts over and over and over again that you're just maybe not seeing as much as from the fan's eye, you know. But yep, it is it's a position where you're dealing with a lot of force, you know.
Well, and that's why again we go back to the support staff around these guys, you know, making sure they're okay, making sure everybody's feeling good about their positions and going forward. So if that does happen, you guys are ready to go. And talk to us a little bit about your philosophy when it comes specifically to the defensive line.
I think first and foremost, details. Be very detail oriented in my approach. I try to look for players that have detailed habits, even when they're younger and we're recruiting them. And then kind of falls into the category of defensive linemen, where you separate yourself is being relentless. So it's detailed. It's being relentless, having a relentless approach and pursuit to what we do, and then physically dominant. So those three things are, in a sense, where our world lives and even how I evaluate defensive linemen.
And again, I know you're the assistant head coach, NFL liaison, which I want to get to before we let you go. I want to know, like, the position groups. I've asked Coach Lamb about this, but on the defensive side, how does that all come together? You know, you're at practice. You guys practice your butts off every single day. Once we get into season, we got spring ball, all that stuff. Do you guys all meet every single day after practice, before practice? You're working on your plan and your philosophy with the defensive line, but then it's got to sync up with the linebackers. It's got to sync up with the cornerbacks. It's got to sync up with the safety. Talk to us a little bit about that that process.
Yeah, I mean, it starts usually as a whole process. So we'll be in there together, making sure everything's vertically aligned, you know, from the front to the back, so as a coaching staff, you know, kind of put into example, maybe we have an install that day. So we'll make sure that all the little things, we're all on the same page in the sense of what's going in, the little details that might have to change with what's going in. If we have a pressure that day or something going in, we just make sure we're all on the same page with that. That's kind of the whole part to that, making sure if there's any questions or we didn't hash out a specific look from the offense, just making sure we got all those. You know, we cross the T's, dot the I's kind of thing. And then it goes into a part, and you plan your day around that, and you plan your part. In my part, it would be making sure the defensive line's part of that install is going to be sound so that when they get a call from the defensive coordinator, they know what to do. And then it kind of comes back to whole. We get out to the practice field and usually starts in the structure of a walkthrough. And then we might speed it up into a little bit more parts and segments, like an inside run or something like that. And then we get into team periods where the whole part gets to happen again. So there is a pretty good process before we actually get to, like, calling a play and them having to register it. But it's our job to be prepared and organized and make sure that we have a plan for those specific days. But, yeah, when we're working, we usually start and work all together. And Coach Hadley's obviously very organized in that fashion of just making sure that we're always on the same page, and that's very important.
It's such a team sport, maybe one of the best team sports there is, but there's so many things where there's not separation, but where you have to, you're really pinpointing certain areas, and that's why you have position coaches, and that's why you have guys like yourself that have an amazing resume come in to work with one specific group. But to make sure that they're all put together. I mean, again, I'm not comparing it to military or anything, but it is certain ranks, and that you're constantly focusing on this group, so that when the game starts, you're bringing it all together, and everybody's working as one well-oiled machine.
Yeah, I think football and the military, some of the backgrounds and some of the approaches you see, I think it always ties in very closely. And so I just think it comes down to just having a great day, you know, plan for your day, being very organized, and then you have to attack that plan with awesome enthusiasm, you know.
Aaron Fernandez joining us in here, assistant UNC coach, defensive line coach, NFL liaison. As far as the film study, that's one thing. I have asked Coach Lamb, I would love to at some point. I'll sneak in there. I won't bring any electronics. I just want to watch you guys watch film. Because you're right. When I watch football, I watch it like the fans watch football. I see where the ball's going. I would love to come in and watch and learn how you're watching film, which for you specifically, you're looking at your opponent's offensive line and their run game or their quarterback tendencies here. Can you give us a glimpse into what film study looks like when you're specifically going up against an opponent?
I think even before the opponent, usually, like, there's some things, like, when I'm watching film, and, I mean, first of all, we got to get you by. I mean, we got spring ball coming up.
Yeah.
We'd love for you to come by and just, get a chance to see what we do. Coach's film is a lot better than TV film. Get a chance to get kind of all 22 in there, and it's a really cool perspective. And so, for me, every single play, got to make sure my guys have correct alignment. They got to make sure that they have correct stance. And then when the ball snaps, I got to see if they're on the right keys. And then after that, I got to see if they did their assignment right. So I kind of watch film in that order, in a sense, just alignment, stance, key, and assignment.
Talk to us about keys.
Keys might be like if I'm a three tech, which is a defensive tackle, outside shade of the guard. You know, his key might be the shoulder pad tip of the guard. And so what I mean by that is his job and maybe where his hat or where he's supposed to peak his gap, put his hat where he's supposed to be maybe on that call, depends on what that key does. So I think there's sometimes a misconception of, like, a defensive lineman puts his hand in the ground and then he kind of just goes forward and just kind of rushes with no worth. Your key essentially tells you what's happening and where the ball's going and what they're trying to do. Is it a low hat key for run? Is it a high hat for pass? And then that tells you what you have to do for us, what the call was, right? So that's what key means essentially. And there's always different keys based on the call that we're giving them.
Now, I obviously, doing a podcast like this, I love football, but there are so many things that I don't know. I know that's hard to believe. No. My audience will probably go, well, duh. Nah, but I think that, because, you know, when you see a defensive line lineup, you know, you always see them kind of getting down, they reposition, they position again. But probably what they're doing is they're getting in their correct alignment, the keys, focusing on what that offensive line's doing.
That's exactly what they're doing. They might have a specific job based on what the backfield tells them. And so you'll see them adjust their stances. And essentially all they're doing is adjusting their weight and putting their weight in different balances so they can get to where they're supposed to be correctly or get off the ball correctly, right? And so, that's exactly what you see.
There's so many things that go into that. And I love to hear that too. Like a way a defensive lineman might line up and shift their weight a little bit because they know they're going in this direction. But you also want to kind of conceal that a little bit from the offensive line so they don't know exactly where you're going, you know, which gap you're going to be covering up.
Yep. Yeah, there's always those are the nuances within the nuances of the game. And, you never want to necessarily give something away, but you always want to go back to the alignment thing. You always want to align for success. You have a job to do. So sometimes it comes down to not really caring if you give it away because you got to get something done.
Because you know, maybe at that point you're one heck of a confident football player and you know you're going to wear whatever you do. They might know what's coming, but you're going to go anyway.
Yep. Same thing we'll do when we look at from a defensive line perspective, just the, you know, how an offensive lineman gets in his stance. Where's his weight at? Where's the weight at in his hands? That could give us some clues to what's going on.
How did you ever see the movie? And I'm going to ask a lot of stupid questions. Coach Lamb knows this. What's the movie with Mark Wahlberg where he's trying out for the Eagles?
Invincible.
Okay.
That's the name of it.
This could be an entirely new podcast that we do where you guys dispel football stuff that happens. But when Mark Wahlberg lines up and he sees the knuckles of the long snapper or something he sees the knuckles of a guy and he calls. It was the defensive guy or something, and he sees the guy putting his fist into the ground, and he's like, "Oh, they're not." I don't know what they were doing.
I think there's.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do, and I think there's some truth to that.
Is there really?
There are some truth
okay,
to that.
Good,
it would be like
good. Don't destroy my reality
again. Again, from like a D-line perspective, I you could see Like if an offensive lineman had a bunch of weight in his hands and all the whites in his knuckles, everyone wears gloves now, so maybe
that's not even difficult.
That's true, but so maybe you could just kind of see his posture is a little different, right? That could help you know, like, he's probably coming forward, you know?
When you played, what were the things you were look like, did you look at that stuff? I mean, because a lot of people, I would, like me, I'd be a scared little chicken walking up there. I don't know what to do. I'm told to go this way. But you, when the game slows down for you and you're playing at a high level, you can look for little things. How much of little studying did you do, you know, 10 seconds before the snap?
The only way I got by having any chance in high-level football was being a student of the game. So I was very in tune to that. Even though it was on VHS, I did study film, and I put a lot of pride in it because that did help. It helped me with some certain tendencies. And I think just in general, when you go back to eyes, like that is the difference between okay players, average players, good players, great player is eye control and what they do with their eyes and how trained they are to put their eyes where they're supposed to be. I use it a lot. We use this term eye control a lot, but we say the eagle eye approach, which is just making sure we're very in tune to what we're supposed to see. And I think that's very important. And I've heard when I got a chance to do an internship in the NFL for the Dolphins, I used to hear a lot of players just randomly and some coaches just say, eyes are what gets you paid. And I mean, it just kind of goes back to them trying to preach the difference in how you'll develop when you really understand keys and eye control.
You always hear it's a game of inches. And I think a lot of people, and in my brain, you always think of the football field and you think of just a ball moving forward an inch. But it's so much more than that. You talking about the eyes, you know, shifting your weight, the keys. Those are the inches, really, that we're talking about here. It's
correct.
Every position, if you're off by an inch, that could be the difference.
Yep. That's it. And that's why it starts with alignment. Like, defenses that don't have a lot of success, it probably starts because they can't get aligned correctly. So the integrity of space between all 11 players is sacrificed when you can't align correctly. Those are also like an example of inches, the game of inches.
I love this stuff. This is one of the things, like, again, you know, every conversation we've had with Coach Lamb has been sensational, but then we can take it in more of a pinpointed direction with you. And I love that. Aaron Fernandez joining us for Football 52, assistant head coach and a defensive line coach for the UNC Bears. Let's talk about last year's line. I mean, last year's defense as a whole, we talked about this a lot on the show. You guys were right there all the time. I know it wasn't the season you wanted at all, but most of your football games last year, there was just a play or two, it seemed like, maybe a series or two that was the difference. But this defense overall, this defensive line, some individuals, you know, Marcus Howard, what he was able to do, you had a very strong defensive showing last season.
We have a very talented defense as a whole. There are certain areas, that's what the offseason's been about, that we know we obviously have to get better at and address. Working to be smarter, tougher, and better conditioned in some areas. But, you know, I think something that we were able to sustain and continue, we did develop a lot of guys. You brought up a guy talking about Marcus. There's a lot of others. I don't necessarily need to go into individuals, but as a whole, as a defense, from every level, first, second, and third, we developed, and we bring a lot of attitude, gratitude to the football field, a lot of energy, a lot of effort. That was something we looked at as a defensive staff when we're really diving into what we call self-scout, and just had a feeling of it in general, but we're really proud of that. We flew around. We were tied for the lead in the conference in interceptions. So, like, we took the ball away at a pretty high level, and we will continue to do that. But there are definitely some things to build on with this defense.
I told Coach Lamb at the start of this thing, I'm going to kind of treat this podcast as if I'm going into this blind, because we want the audience to learn about this football team. You know, last year was last year. And honestly, you can say this for any football staff. When you start a new spot, you go to a new place, Yeah, that'd be great if you pull off a bunch of wins and you shock the world and you and see it's the flip of that record and you go on. That would have been awesome. It would have been very rare, but that would have been awesome. But do you get that feel too? And coaches talked about this where last year is that feeling out process. You wanted to honor all the guys that were currently with their scholarship or whatever. This year, you guys have had that real chance to go, okay, these are the guys now. We're going forward with them. That first year, nobody wants to say it's a mulligan or anything, but it does kind of feel like that's the year we're getting to know everything here. We're knowing the community more. We're knowing the city more, the town, the campus, all that stuff. So going forward, talk to us about the defensive philosophy, how aggressive this team's going to be, what the focus is going to be, as far as, hey, is that the goal? Is like, we're going to be extremely aggressive. We're going after that quarterback no matter what.
I mean, we're always trying to look to affect the quarterback in different ways. But our defensive philosophy is pretty simple. We try not to set goals in the sense of like we want to have this many sacks or this many TFLs. Our thing is, number one, we say it's attitude. So, I mean, this is how we approach daily. Again, that kind of I think is why we preach that a lot in the feeling out process that you talked about and learning some of these players learning to have a different attitude when you come to the building every day. And then follow that up with gratitude. We're attitude, gratitude, and then energy and effort. Those are our goals. So
you're not going to draw up any specific plays for me that I can document.
Nah, and here's what Coach Lamb and Coach Hadley do a great job of being multiple, and they have tons of experience in, like I said, and how to affect the quarterback and what we can build on and what we can continue to develop. So I know we'll always be multiple in that approach, which I think is something that I really enjoy coaching in this defense.
Getting me excited for I'm excited for spring, but you're gonna be excited for next fall, man.
I know, and I wish it was here, but like we talk about that process, we gotta have a really good spring ball. We have to really show some of this, and that's why I'm so excited and itching to get there. We have really invested and committed. I think that's when we talk about kind of what I've been experienced of and being a part of Coach Lamb's process is, that first year might be some filling out process, but we get to dive into the weight room now as a whole. Our spring has been fantastic. The players have committed to body weight development and almost being weightlifters that play football, and that we are so excited to see that in the spring. So we have to follow that up with consistency in the spring and development, but so excited to get out there and see what these guys can do. And all of them are different. The amount of body weight and mass that we put on as a team is awesome. All credit to Coach Hill and Coach Lamb and their approach to that. So real excited about that. That gets me obviously excited when you talk about the fall, but we got to get to the spring first.
Talk to us a little bit about the spring plans for you guys, because here it is, as we're recording this, March 12th, the spring practices start very soon. Spring games at the end of the month.
Yeah, we start spring ball March 25th, and that'll roll into April 27th, I think is when our spring game is. So it is right around the corner, and very, very excited. We love, for community, the community and high school coaches, they've always been welcome to our spring ball. I think we'll continue to get great traction with that, but it's an exciting time. It's an exciting time, too, just for, I think, in general, always the amount of buzz that gets created when you put a good 5 weeks in.
Any unique things to expect with the spring game yet? I know so many teams do things differently. You guys did something kind of different last year. I don't know if that's the same plan, or are you guys still kind of trying to figure out what that looks like?
We're still trying to figure it out a little bit. I know we usually always have alumni come back and be the defensive coordinators and the offensive coordinators, and that gives them a chance to just call a game. They don't even have to know. They just get a list and here's our blitzes. Here's our cover two.
I think that's so awesome.
Here's our cover three. Here's our man. Go have fun. Kind of like you're in. So, and just that we, I know we'll probably do that again.
If I can call one play, just let me know. I mean, because I've got an idea.
You should come get, it'll start by you coming by spring ball.
Yes. Okay.
Sitting in the film room.
Done.
And then we'll get that all dialed in from whole part whole to make sure we're top to bottom sound on the play, and let's put it in and run it, man.
Well, it's really not going to be anything that you guys would draw. It's just everybody goes. Everybody blitz. Right. So it's just everybody engage 11.
Okay.
Good idea,
I mean, I was an engage 8 guy playing Madden, you know.
I'm going all in.
Okay, let's do it. I'm in, man.
You like that idea? You think that could work?
The quarterback.
And if that works,
say less, man.
You let me, you know, hang out, and we'll see what happens. And it's like, bring in the special play, and then it's just, I just say blitz everybody.
All right. We got to come up with a name for it.
There's a lot of science behind my football. Coach, talk to us about what NFL liaison means.
That just means from day-to-day operations. I'm the first point of contact, I guess, when it comes to talking with scouts that come by, making sure they're set up, making sure they have some organization. Usually they'll come by to evaluate your seniors if you have, like, some NFL potential guys. And then it kind of goes into, like, we have our pro day coming up. That's March 18th.
Yeah.
That's the Monday after we get off spring break. And that's at 8 a.m. At Northern Colorado, and we're going to have a great turnout. We have 3 defensive backs that'll be showing, Tyzel Lewis, Taiwan Harris, and Cameron Murray, and we're excited about that. I know they've been working hard, all of them training, specializing, so they can be able to run well and put a good product, and hopefully that leads to them getting an opportunity at the next level. So it just means that, just kind of some day-to-day operations and being able to just have some personal relations with the NFL people that come through our building.
I think that part's fascinating. I actually did attend a couple years ago to the pro day for UNC, and it's cool to be in the gym, you know, or in the weight room when they're like, you know, they're cheering each other on, they're going after it. But I would imagine that's pretty similar to your guys' workouts, because you talked about the off-season workouts, and Coach Lamb's talked about how well those have gone and how guys are pushing each other. I would imagine that pro day that I experienced is a lot like what those workouts are all the time. Guys are really rooting each other on to complete a set.
Yeah, we'll have we get a good turnout. We'll have the you know, younger guys there too, and it gets some great energy in the weight room. They're going to throw 225 around a little bit. You get to do that. You get to kind of, you know, see them jump, and it just creates some buzz, and then it kind of leads to them going out and running, and that's kind of the biggest that's the biggest thing they're coming to do. They're coming to watch them run, especially defensive backs. It's really cool excitement. I've been fortunate enough to be around enough pro days, and it's a cool moment to see a lot of and a lot of hard work in the years, and just a lot of time that I know these players have put in to just see him showcase that. It's really cool.
Man, I'm so excited that you come in. You got a chance to come in here today and do this. You know, when Coach Lamb said, hey, we could try Friday or whatever, or we could get Aaron in here and go. I mean, I was excited about that because, you know, again, I could talk to Coach Lamb all day, every day. But being able to kind of get into that, you know, defensive line, O-line mindset with you, just scratching the surface, I can nerd out on that stuff, man.
Well, this was awesome, and I can too. I love talking about it. That's part of also me just, you know, learning how to teach and talk, and I think in the sense of kind of bringing that overall picture of our game and what we do to people, I love doing that. And so, this was awesome.
While we have you here, I should have started the podcast with this, but can you talk to, like, who do you got? Who'd you bring here with your family? You got your wife, you got a couple boys, right?
Yeah. My wife, Heidi, she's our rock of our family. We have been married for 10 years now, but I've known her for a long time. And then I have 2 sons, Kai, he's 9, and Cade, he's 7. And so we came out here to journey together. This was our in the first big move of our coaching experience. And so, we as long as we're doing this thing together, we're going to do it. So.
How did the kiddos, you know, handle the move and everything? You know, because we don't talk about that enough, of what that's like with a football coach.
Man, they're troopers. I got awesome kids, awesome sons. They handled it really well, actually. You know, naturally, I think they're young enough. It was still kind of maybe a little bit exciting for them. I know that can get a lot different as kids get older and you start to get into high school and things like that. So maybe naturally it was a good time in their lives. But they're awesome. They handled that thing like troopers, probably way better than I ever did.
But you're liking Greeley, loving the area, loving the whole community kind of thing.
I love Greeley, man. I think this is a fantastic place, just the Northern Colorado area in general. And like I said, I know there's a great support out there. We're here to continue to earn it, and we will continue to earn it. But I do. I think Greeley is a very great place. Just see a lot of great positive family atmosphere, hardworking people, blue collar. This is what I love to be a part of.
Is last one for you, Coach, and I'll let you get out of here, I promise. Is that something you guys talk about, like as a staff or even with your family? Like, we want to be the ones that turn this thing around. We, you know, for the longest time, you know, UNC football just hasn't been on that map, and we don't have to rehash the history or even the recent history with coaching hires and things like that. But you guys are also doing it in a way where you're really focusing on that foundation. This isn't, you know, here's some decorative items that we're going to put on this thing to make it look kind of cool and attractive for a second. You guys are putting the foundation in. Are those conversations that come up between you and Coach Lamb, the coaching staff, maybe even some of your players?
Yeah, I think they naturally come up amongst all of us, and it is. We are here, and we are going to take a ton of pride in that approach. And we don't feel like that approach happens overnight. And so, you know, we feel like when we're talking about development, and whether we're developing as coaches or we're having our players develop in their certain areas of their career, you know, I feel like that's where we always are going to have a lot of pride in, because we feel like we really poured into the right things. And Coach Lamb said it from day one, you know, multiple championships, and that's what we want to do.
Oh, I love the fact too. This is my like, you know, self-serving side coming out here. Coach Lamb said, "Hey, when we turn this thing around, we want this podcast to be kind of like the journal or the diary that we had every single week. So when we get the rings and all that stuff, just something to think about, you know." And I do have that special play that you probably will run at some point.
And I'm excited. I'm excited just to come up with a name for it, man.
Hey, well, I'll get crafty. The name will probably be a little bit more thought out than the actual play itself. Okay. How about that?
Well, yeah, man. But it's going to be an exciting time, and that is, I think it's that's a really cool thought to have some history.
It is, man.
And what you guys, just in general, putting kind of all these thoughts together and what we're going to do. Yeah.
Well, you are welcome in here anytime. And also my regular show. We'll get you on there at some point too, because we can, you know, just keeping that connection and having coaches talk to us. And like I said, anybody can do a podcast. A lot of people can do radio shows and whatever, but being able to, and that's my favorite part about the job, is interviewing, and not even interviewing, just having a conversation with guys like you that are doing the things that we love to talk about, we love to follow, and then you can give us those details. So this is my favorite part of the job.
This is awesome, yeah. And I would love to, get on whenever you would have me on, man. I'd really love to.
I got your number now, so you know,
dialed in, man.
I'm gonna be like, hey, Coach, it's time for the play. Probably won't have your phone on it. At the point, you're going to see it at the end of the game and be like, God, what an idiot. Why is this guy even, why did I give him my number? Coach, man, it's a blast doing this. I appreciate you jumping in, getting to know you a little bit more, and I look forward to getting to know you more down the road. And I know Bears fans, like I said, this podcast, we're hearing more and more people are excited about hearing from you guys and hearing some of these details and getting into the positions. And I know as the season gets closer, we can really dive into the depth charts and get into that side of it too. So on behalf of the listeners and this station, we just appreciate you guys being willing to open up to these conversations.
Well, I appreciate you. Thanks for having me on, Brady. This was awesome stuff, and well worth the time. And again, just thank you for the opportunity.
All right, my man. Coach Aaron Fernandez, assistant head coach, defensive line, and NFL liaison for the UNC Bears. It's been another edition of Football 52. I think Coach Lamb will be back next week for episode 7, and we'll look forward to that one as well. We'll talk at you guys next week.